following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante. Hope you're all doing well. It is a beautiful Sunday, May 2nd morning. The spring has sprung. The leaves on the trees, the flowers are popping out. My pool's opening this week. Yep, that's how I measure it. No, I'm not going to go swimming in it, I don't think, this week, but we planned early and we said, all right, let's get the cover off the pool. Let's get this thing going. So people were outside yesterday. It turned into be a pretty nice day. I didn't know that yesterday was going to be such a nice day, actually, but today should even be better. So get out there, enjoy this weather, enjoy the community that we have. People are starting to get outside. I was out at a restaurant last night, went over to Teresa's Prime in North Reading last night. It was hopping over there. All these places, the restaurants we're going to are getting busier and busier. I'll tell you, I've been going to a new Chinese restaurant that I've really been enjoying in Middleton. It's called Tongue's Taste. A lot of people report about it on some of the social media sites on these restaurants and stuff. I will admit, I went there a few months ago, got takeout. I wasn't overly overwhelmed by it. I'm a big Chinese food guy. But go in that restaurant and have an experience there. Man, these guys, they do it right. The drinks are just crafted perfectly. The food was terrific. They make their own homemade dumplings. And if you like dumplings, they are outstanding there. So that's Tongue's Taste in Middleton. And no, this isn't Scott Whitley's show. This is Dollars and Cents. But let me tell you, when I like to go out to eat, I want to talk about things that are local, things that I do, how we spend our money, what we do. And I will tell you, great value over there at Tongue's Taste. So I'm here in studio today. I'm somewhat melancholy as I talk about this show today because we've had something interesting happen this past week in our office. We had three different clients die this week, in 1 week. Now, it's interesting. When my father started this firm back in 1968, you got to imagine many of these clients are still clients of ours. So, you know, they've aged, and we average around 12 client deaths a year at Friedman Financial. I mean, that's going to happen. I mean, with 450 households, people living locally, people getting older, we're going to get used to that. And it's been quite challenging this year. And by the way, none of these deaths, none of them have been COVID related. I just want to put that out there. So it had nothing to do with COVID. But on Thursday, where we had our third death of the week, that totaled 10 deaths so far this year. And we were at April 29th. And it's been when you're dealing with death and when you're dealing with personal finances, it's oftentimes a situation where you as the surviving spouse or the surviving children or heirs, it's the first time you're having to face what to do next. And what I've learned is that most people have no idea what happens. And to no surprise, really, I mean, how often do you lose a spouse or a loved one for where you're going to be responsible or involved in the management of what's left of their estate, whether it's their house, their personal belongings, their investments, their retirement accounts, life insurance, whatever it is. And basically the only reference point that you have is watching a television show
where they go into this big oak room in the lawyer's office, and then there's the reading of the will. And so a lot of people assume that the will is so critically important in the distribution of assets. Now, don't get me wrong. It is very important that you have a will. But the reality is the will takes care of all the stuff that wasn't taken care of outside of the will. And for, believe it or not, most of your stuff is already taken care of if you've managed things properly. And one of the things that I've learned over the past several months, actually I've known this for years, but it's really come to light with all of the deaths, frankly, that we've seen in our office, is how unprepared, how unaware, and how the professionals that people might also deal with are unaware of what to do. We had a situation earlier this year where about 4 years ago we had met this couple. They had come in, they wanted to work with us, but the husband had always done everything on his own. He liked to manage his money. He liked to manage the finances. He was very, very particular. And the wife was very happy to let him take control of everything. He managed it all well. They came in to see us, though, because he was saying, you know, Mark, I'm getting a little bit older. I want to be sure that, you know, my wife is taken care of. I want to make sure that she knows what's going on. And so we talked about our services. We talked about how we did financial planning. We talked about the importance of understanding where everything is, understanding the ownership of assets, understanding the beneficiaries of assets, understanding clarity on where everything was going, consolidating it all, knowing where everything is and what everything is worth. And at the end of the meeting, the wife was so engaged and so wanted to work with us. And the husband said, I just don't think it's worth it. I don't think it's worth paying for it. I've done enough of this stuff. He says, I got it pretty much in line. We're in good shape. And that's fine. I mean, that happens. Well, earlier this year, I get a phone call and find out that the husband has died. And this woman who had met with us reaches out and says, I'd like you to help us with taking over everything. And I said, well, first thing we need to do is we need to gather it all. We need to know where everything is and what everything is worth so we know what you have. And she says, all I care about is I just want to make sure that I keep getting a check every month, that I keep having money coming into my bank account so that I can continue to cover my expenses. I said, well, where does this money come from? And she says, I don't know. She doesn't know. And so we had to work with she and her son to help gather what they had. And that included finding accounts that were scattered everywhere and trying to identify passwords on how to get onto some of these online accounts, finding accounts, but using the tax return. We used last year's tax return as at first an initial tool to help us understand where things could be. And more items were uncovered, and more items were covered, and more items were uncovered. It's not that he was hiding anything. It's just that he tried to do so many things on his own that it was all scattered all over the place. And frankly, most of the information of where it all was basically in his head. And he was controlling where to take money from, how to send the money, and what to do with it, which was fine. I mean, he knew what he was doing, but he hadn't prepared for what would happen if he died. And so we're still in the process of cobbling all of this together. But one of the things that we've learned through the process of appropriate financial planning and preparing for death is that a couple things jumped out. Number one, he had set up a few different IRA accounts. There was an account that was at Janus Funds. There was an account that was at Merrill Lynch. It was an account at Fidelity and an account at Vanguard. Janus, Fidelity, and Vanguard. All IRAs that he had set up. He had little small businesses. So he had a SEP IRA. He had an IRA account. And so we just assumed, wrong for us, when we sent the death certificate to Janus, to Fidelity, and to Vanguard, that the wife would be the beneficiary of the IRA. And what we learned was that there wasn't a beneficiary named. You see, he set up these accounts and he filled out basically page one and page two of the application, which said, I want to transfer money or I want to deposit money. This is the ownership of my account. He signed the application, but he neglected to put a beneficiary on there. And you see, this is a problem. Because while you might assume as the spouse that you would inherit the IRA, it's not going to go that easily. And there are new rules that are in place right now that make things even more complicated. You see, if you have an IRA or a retirement account, and you as the spouse are the beneficiary of that IRA, that money can easily roll over to you, and you can take money out as you wish. And you, if you're over 70 and a half or 72 years old, you need to meet the minimum distribution, the required minimum distribution. But you can spread that out over your lifetime. But a rule passed a couple of years ago that said, from now on, if you're not the spouse, if you're anyone else, a child, a dog, a charity, an estate, whatever it might be, that money must be distributed within 10 years. So not over your lifetime, but over 10 years. And those checks and the money that you take out, that's going to be taxable. Well, she had assumed, and this was the largest, if you added up this gentleman's IRAs, it was the largest portion of their estate. It totaled about $750,000. And she was going to assume to receive this in her own IRA, she assumed, and she'd just take out the minimum distribution. And at about 72 years old, that's about at $750,000, at say, call it 4%. It's probably $30,000 she had to take from the account every year. Not a big deal. Not a big deal, because she could take that small amount out over every year. But because she wasn't the beneficiary, and there wasn't one named, the estate of this person was named the beneficiary. And that now means if it's named by the estate, it needs to go to probate. And that's one of the things we all try to avoid, is probate. Probate is this process of proving. And it isn't until we get through the process of probate until we can decide who's actually going to get the money. And sure enough, in the will, it said, my wife will get all of my money. It was one of these I love you wills that says anything that I pass on, if I pass on, everything goes to my spouse. But because it had to go to the estate of first, the spouse doesn't get to take out just the minimum amount. They have to spread it out. They have to take the money, all of it, within the next 10 years. It was poor planning. Poor planning. But we had talked about this with him. We had talked about the importance of making sure that beneficiaries were lined up, making sure that the registration was appropriate. But he thought he was doing the best he could because he was doing it himself. And he didn't want to seek guidance. He didn't want that help. This and many more stories like this are ones that I'm going to share with you today. If I'm making you feel a little uncomfortable, that's on purpose. I want to make sure that you are getting your house in order, your financial house in order, that if God forbid something were to happen to you, your spouse, your loved ones, your beneficiaries are better prepared. They're in the know, because if you leave this earth, you don't want them worrying about money. Let them mourn you. But all of a sudden, when financial complications jump in the way, man, that makes for a very uncomfortable sets of months that follow. I know it's an uncomfortable situation, one that we don't like to talk about, but it's one we need to talk about. And that's what's called financial advice in a language you can understand. I'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Share with you my story. Would you share your dollar with me? Bad times are coming.
The following message
message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polano Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polano Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polano Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante, Peabody.
As you prepare for retirement, we know that your financial hopes and dreams are important to you. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? You need a plan. A plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced, and we're fiduciaries. We listen, we collaborate, and we deliver a plan that helps you sleep at night. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us to ask why and how and what if. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It's a beautiful day outside and hope you're doing well. Red Sox remain in first place. I'm going to the Celtics game tonight. Should be nice. It's interesting. I'm a season ticket holder for the Boston Celtics. But because of COVID and 12% seating capacity, you can't get all of the season ticket holders to go to all the games. So it's kind of interesting. Celtics reached out to me and they said, you're entitled to go to three games. So at the beginning of the season, I was able to pick three games. And my regular seats that I have were not available because of the way they've set up. There's 12% of the seats that are available. And so you could go and search and you could get whatever seat you wanted. Granted, you had to pay the price of the section that you wanted to be in. Of course, if I wanted to sit courtside, I could have bought courtside seats, but they would have been very, 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 very expensive. I happen to sit in around Loge 4, and so I found seats that were in that general area. But it's the coolest thing when you go to the Celtics game now. Well, I don't know if it's the coolest thing. It's how they managed with COVID. What happens is I thought, you know, well, maybe I'll just buy balcony seats, really cheap balcony seats, and I'll just move down to courtside. Who's going to know? It's only 12% of the people there. Well, no, they've figured that out. So what happened is 88% of the seats in Boston Garden are zip-tied closed. I've never seen such a large zip tie before in my life. It wraps around the back of the chair, zip ties in the front. You can't put the seat down. The only seats that are unzip-tied are the 12% of seats in the garden that are specifically designed for you. So I was in like row 10, and my four seats on the aisle are there. The rest of the seats in the aisle are all zip-tied closed. The rows 2 and 3 in front of me and behind me were all zip-tied closed. So you got a lot of space. So I went, a few weeks ago, I was with Corey, and he goes and puts his feet up on the seat in front of him. Because there's room, right? And the usher's like, no, feet off the seats, you got to stay in your seat. But it was a very strange situation. Now, I understand we're going to 25% capacity soon at the Garden. I don't know when that starts, perhaps playoff time, but I am looking forward to going back to the game tonight. Last Friday, I think it was Friday night. So it was Friday night. They beat the Spurs in overtime after being down 32 points at the half. So a great comeback for the Celtics. Perhaps this is a turning point for them, but you never know. They're a very hot and cold team. Anyways, when I last left you, I was talking a little bit about some of the challenges that we've been facing over the past few months that have to do with talking to clients about managing the transfer of assets following the death of a spouse or a loved one. And I will tell you, like I said earlier, we've already had 10 deaths this year in my office. We generally average about 12 to 14 a year. Look, Dad started the firm in 1968, and I will tell you, none of these deaths are COVID-related. None of them have been COVID-related. But people die. People get older, or things happen, and it's a really unknown situation for a lot of folks, because think about it. If you were to lose your spouse, or let's say
you're a child and only one parent is alive, and you know, or you have a gut feeling that you're going to be the person called upon to deal with death, deal with the funeral home, deal with Social Security, deal with transferring assets, deal with managing your siblings, you probably don't know what to do. You're probably assuming what you need to do is just hire an attorney and go to a big oak room and go for the reading of the will because that's what you saw in a movie one day. Folks, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. And what I will tell you this, what I will also tell you, is that many people, and this is a situation that I've run into, is they just assume that the attorney that did the closing on their home can also settle mom and dad's estate. And that's a situation that I'm dealing with right now. So there's a client of ours, lives on the South Shore. Wife died about 18 months ago, and he died 2 weeks ago, surprisingly. It was just, and they were both in their 60s, not old at all. So their children, who are in their late 30s and early 40s, there are three girls. They reach out to me to let, one of them reaches out and lets me know that dad passed away. And they know nothing. They don't know anything. What do we do? What do we do? And so they knew that I was their financial advisor. And fortunately at Friedman Financial, and I hope your financial advisor that you work with does the same, we maintain a comprehensive net worth statement for our client. So we knew the bank accounts that he had. We knew the investment accounts, of course, that he had with our office. He also held a couple investment accounts outside of our office because his wife had inherited some money from her mother and she really wanted to keep it with the advisor over there. That's fine. So we maintained that. They had a mortgage. They had life insurance. They had annuities. They had all sorts of different things. They also owned a business. And the kids wondered what to do. I said, well, I mean, I have the net worth statement. I have a general reporting, but I need to talk with the attorney because there's going to be an estate that needs to be settled. And we need to work this through and make sure that we do it appropriately. And he says, well, he says, doesn't the will just handle everything and just says it gets split evenly between my brothers? Between my sisters? And I said, well, there's more to it than that. It's a lot more to it than that. There's taxes to pay. There's reporting that needs to be done. And so I try to reach out to the attorney. He gives me the name of the attorney. And the attorney, for whatever reason, 2 weeks go by and I'm still not hearing from the attorney. And I'm wondering, why am I not hearing from this attorney? So I reach out to the boys. I mean, I keep saying the boys, but I have boys, but to the girls. I reach out to the girls and I say, look, I need to talk with the attorney because the girls wanted to have an appointment. They wanted to have a Zoom appointment with me to explain everything that was there. And they wanted to include their husbands in on the call. And one of them even wanted to include their own financial advisor. And I said, look, I'm not the person, I'm not at liberty to start sharing all of this information until I get some guidance from the attorney. And so I said, look, maybe you guys can help. Can you reach out to the attorney, your attorney? So one of them reaches out to the attorney. And a couple hours later, I get a call back from the assistant or the office manager. And this woman calls me and she says, hi, I work for the certain attorney. I handle all of the estate work at the office. She says, I'm not an attorney, but I do all of the estate work. Of course, I take guidance from the attorney in the office, but I handle all the estate work, so I'm probably best to talk with. So, I mean, that first concerns me already, that there's not a qualified estate planning attorney working in the office. So I start telling her a little bit about the situation. She says, maybe you can fill me in. I said, all right, I'll share some information with you. And I share it with her. And I start asking her questions. She says, well, it looks like this is going to have to go through probate. I said, well, a very small amount of it will have to go through probate, but much of these assets already have beneficiaries named. They're named in the retirement accounts. They're named in the annuities. They're named in the life insurance policy. She says, yeah, but it all has to go through probate. I said, no, it doesn't. And I'm thinking to myself, here I am, the financial advisor, giving advice to the estate planning attorney, the person that's going to get paid to actually settle this estate. And the person I'm talking with, who's the assistant of an attorney, doesn't really know what she's talking about. And I said to her, I said, you know, this estate is about $7 million. She goes, $7 million? Like, you know, $7 million is a lot of money, don't get me wrong, but I wouldn't expect a shocking response from a person in a professional legal setting. She clearly had no idea what to do with settling an estate. So I said, look, I'm going to send you some information, and please let me know how else I can help. About 10 minutes later, I get a call, finally, from the attorney. Now, remember, I've talked for 2 weeks. I've tried to send emails to this attorney for 2 weeks, and he finally reaches out to me, and he says, hey, I understand we need to talk about this client's estate. I said, yeah, we do. And he says, can we find some time later today or tomorrow to chat? And I'm going to chat with him next week. But clearly, I have a feeling, in fact, I know for certain, that I am going to have to guide this estate, this attorney, who is not really an estate planning attorney. He just helps people with their estates. Maybe he's written a will or two. Maybe he's even crafted a trust through some template. But here's the problem, is that the client is going to pay fees and costs for an attorney to learn how to settle an estate. And that's not right. Folks, when you have somebody, but he's a family friend, Mark. This is what he does. No, he's a family friend. Yes, he did the closing on your parents' house, but he knows nothing about estate planning, and it's just he and his assistant. What you really need is an estate planning attorney, someone who understands that there's going to have to be an estate tax return, certainly a Massachusetts estate tax return that is going to have to be filed. There's going to have to be appropriate reporting. There's going to have to be updating of cost bases. There's lots of things that have to happen before money just lands in your bank account. And these kids are going to pay, the girls are going to pay an exorbitant amount because they're insistent that they want to work with this attorney who really has no business settling an estate. So I ask you to think about your own situation. When you pass away, and we will all die, I'm sorry, but all of us are going to die. That is a certainty. Who do you want to make sure is managing the settlement of your estate to your spouse or to your heirs? It's a real important question. Are you certain that this person has experience with your size of estate? Now, granted, if your estate's $100,000 or your estate is rather simple, maybe anybody could do it, but I certainly wouldn't advise you to. I know that I would want to make sure that a qualified estate planning attorney, there's even some that do some shows right here on this radio station that focus on estate planning. That's who you want to partner up with. You want to make sure that you're doing this right. You want to make sure that you're not paying for somebody else to get an education while they're trying to settle your parents' estate. And I see this all too often. Look, if you had a problem with your throat, let's say you had a problem with your throat, you had trouble talking, you wouldn't go to an orthopedist, would you? You wouldn't go to a foot doctor or a podiatrist, would you? But they are all doctors, aren't they? They all have doctor in front of their name. Just because someone is an attorney doesn't mean they specialize in the service that you need. There are a lot of people that are called general practitioners. Look, you go to a general practitioner for your health. I mean, you're just a basic GP, general practitioner, that does the basic surface stuff. Well, there are a lot of general practitioner attorneys that do a lot of the basic stuff. When it gets time to deal with a specialty, certainly a specialist that involves an issue that involves a lot of things within your personal financial life, you want to hire someone that specializes in that, not someone that's trying to learn it, that says, oh yeah, you know, one of the courses I took in my studies was estate planning. So because I have my JD, I can do estate planning for you. That's nice. But I will tell you, look, I'm a financial planner. But I wouldn't write, and do I know how to read estate planning documents? Do I try to give some guidance so you know the questions to ask of an estate planning attorney? Of course. But I'm not about to step up and do estate planning for you. I'm not going to write those documents. Do I know a lot about taxes? Yes. A good certified financial planner should be able to provide a lot of different reference points and thoughts and suggestions and perspectives to share as it relates to tax planning. But do I do taxes? No. I don't have my CPA. I'm not a CPA. I'm not even an enrolled agent. So no, I don't do taxes. Do I make recommendations on individual stocks? Never. Never. I want to refer that out, if that's what you want, to a specialist, someone that focuses exclusively on buying individual stocks. They need to know when to buy, when to sell. That's frankly why we use mutual funds for many of our clients. Because when you buy a mutual fund, you're hiring a company, I don't care whether it's Vanguard or Fidelity or Putnam or whatever, the managers of these funds are specialists in picking stocks. And it's not that they're doing it because Cramer said it was a great buy or Susie Orman said you need to sell it. They're doing it because they visited the companies. They understand the management. They walk the assembly lines. They understand what the competition looks like. And based upon the financials that they look at, they say this stock is priced right. And if we buy it, we're going to set a target for when we're going to sell it and a target for when we might buy more if it drops in value. Now, think about that. As an individual investor, if you do this on your own, if I were to tell you that you need to sell some of your securities because they're up some 40 or 50% this past year, you might say to me, Mark, you're crazy. But I assure you, the portfolio managers who have seen a nice run-up in their stocks have a plan for skimming off some of the profits. They do this because it's logical, it's rational, and it's professional. But oftentimes we as individuals get so focused on the emotions that we say, no, we're going to continue to run with it. Folks, this is guidance. This is financial advice in a language you can understand. And I want to make sure that you are doing the very, very best you can, whether you work with a professional or whether you try to do it on your own. You need to be sure you are harnessed with the right information, that you have the right source resources, and you're thinking clearly as it relates to your personal finances now, for your personal finances for the surviving spouse, or for the generation that you will soon or potentially pass that money along to. You need to be smart. You need to be thoughtful. You need to be prepared. You need to have a plan. That's what we do each and every Sunday morning. We give you guidance. I tell you real stories. I make it something that you can understand, that you can wrap your arms around and say, hey, I get this. This is not in a language that I can't understand. This is financial advice in a language you can understand. We're going to take a quick break. When we're back, I've got more stories for you. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Know when to fold up. Walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
The following message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polana Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polana Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante, Peabody.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
It's not about the money, money, money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante on 41 Cross Street. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, I hope you'll reach out and give us a call. Our phone number, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. I'm not in the office today. I'm actually live in studio right now. But if you do leave a message on the machine, Jody will take your information. She will reach out to you or perhaps even pass the message along to me. And we will try to get you in for a free initial consultation. We are now meeting in person in our office. We are all fully vaccinated in our office. You're welcome to join us. We are being careful, of course, with masks as necessary. We can also do this via Zoom. We are taking all the appropriate precautions, but we want to make this an exceptional experience for you. And 450 households say it works for them. That's how many we have that we're working with right now at Friedman Financial. We've got room for more. And speaking about room for more, we've got room for one more person in our office. We were talking about hiring somebody earlier, that we are still looking to hire kind of a utility player in our office, that we will now be looking to hire them for September because we have found a summer intern. And guess who our summer intern is going to be this summer? None other than Corey, my son. We decided to hire Corey. You've heard him. Corey's going to Babson College in September. He wanted to get a little bit of a business experience, and we thought, hey, we can give him one heck of an experience at the office. So if you happen to swing by, if you're listening to the show and you're a client and you come to the office, you're going to get to see Corey. He starts sometime in the middle of June of this year, right after he graduates from high school. Anyway, hey, I wanted to tell you a few other things that have been going on at Friedman Financial. For years, almost 22 years now, we have offered a scholarship. It's a scholarship that goes out to a child, grandchild, great-grandchild, niece, nephew, I don't care, of a client of ours. And when they're graduating high school. And this year was our 22nd anniversary of our annual scholarship. And because we've been doing this for so long, it was a $1,000 scholarship. On the suggestion of my father, who was the founder of the firm, and a few others, we decided to throw inflation behind our scholarship. And we raised the scholarship this year to $2,000. We doubled it. And so the first award winner of our $2,000 Friedman Financial Scholarship goes to Samuel Wu of Colorado. He's one of our client's grandchildren. He was the scholarship winner. And how do you apply for our scholarship? Well, every year, certainly if you're a subscriber to our newsletter, you know all about the scholarship because we start promoting it in January. Applications are due by the end of March. And in order to fill out the application, there's three things that are required. Number one is your answer to our essay question. It's 500 words or less. The question is, what does financial responsibility mean to you? So you write that. And that is the heaviest weighting of the application, of the scoring process when we look at the applications. The others include, of course, your academic record, as well as extracurricular activities, things that you've done, work experience, things you get involved in, leadership experience, anything that you want to share with us to let us know what's going on. So those three components. This is not a needs-based scholarship. So we never ask for whether you need it or not. It's not that at all. It is based upon those three criteria. So if you're a client of the office and you have a child, grandchildren, or child or great-grandchild, and you'd like them to apply for the scholarship, well, you're going to have to wait till next year now because Sam Wu has won this year's scholarship. Now, if you haven't received our newsletter, if you want to know about the newsletter where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand, three stories every Friday that land in your inbox at 10:30 in the morning. Many of the stories that I share in the newsletter are stories that I talk about right here on the radio show. Maybe we expand it a little bit. We go off on a little variant here and there. But to get the newsletter, all you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on the website. You put in your name, your email address. Let us know how you heard about us. If you want to write a comment, you want to ask me a question. Everybody knows that if you write questions in that comment section, I get them almost immediately. And I promise you, within 12 to 18 hours, I will respond to all of the questions that have been asked. And I do it regularly. People send me questions all the time. So please feel free to do so. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about is the month of April just ended. You know, we're here, this is May 2nd today. We've had a nice run in the market, but the past few days in the market, the markets have been down. So I thought it was interesting. The headline
that I was reading said something like, markets have end the month on a down note. But for the month of April, the S&P 500, which is the an index of the 500 largest stocks that trade on the exchange, was up 5% for the month. 5% for the month. That's insane. We have to stop measuring our performance month to month to month. Because there are some reports, believe it or not, some advisors put together their own statements. I never understand why they put together their own performance statements. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. But they sometimes take that monthly number and they annualize it. We were up 5% for the month. Well, you do that over 12 months, that means we're up 60%. Or is that right? Yeah, 60% for the year. No. That's ridiculous. You cannot do that. You can't annualize anything. You can annualize things when you have historical performance, and you can say, what's the average historical performance? But annualizing moving forward, that is irresponsible as far as I'm concerned. But I also want you to think about this. You may also see your March 30th statement or your April 30th statement, and some advisors are going to take advantage of the fact that they can show you 1 year performance of your investments. And that 1 year performance number is going to be blow you away insanely good in many cases. You could see performance of 40, 50, 30% in 1 year for your entire portfolio? Well, let me help you put that into perspective. I'd like you to unwind a little bit and think about where we were on May 2nd of last year. How about end of April of last year? End of March of last year? I know I was in my house because I wasn't allowed to leave, really. The markets had fallen 35%. We couldn't find toilet paper or hand sanitizer. The thought of getting takeout was the only way that you could get food outside of a supermarket. There were lines everywhere. There was uncertainty. We weren't even told we had to wear masks yet. Nobody knew what this virus was all about. People were worried, and people said, this time, it's different. This time is different. Well, those are some pretty challenging and strange times, and what a difference 1 year makes. It shows the power of people working together, that we were able to create a vaccine, to create programs so that we can get back out there and we can start moving forward, though there is a lot of uncertainty still out there, for sure. But we are absolutely heading in the right direction. But remember, a year ago, we were looking at a very, very low point in our lives, in the market, in the economy. Unemployment was hanging around 12%. People couldn't find jobs. They were hoping that they would get a $600 extra pandemic unemployment assistance check. It was scary. So, of course, the market is going to look really good over the past 12 months. I thought it was interesting. Apple came out and they said, our quarterly performance from this year to last year was up 87%. Well, of course. 87% means nothing. Look how bad it was 4 months ago, 4 quarters ago. You're going to see everybody reporting unbelievable numbers when they compare last year's quarter to this year's quarter. Who was flying? Who was traveling? Who was buying? Everybody was scared. So don't let the numbers that you're hearing that are coming out in the news right now blow you away. If they're down, that's what I'd be concerned about. If someone says our numbers are down this quarter compared to what they were last year at this time, I might want to rethink about why that makes such for such a good investment. But I encourage you folks to be careful. Watch out for the sales tactics that are out there where people are showing you what last year's performance was. And they say, well, if we just do half of what we did last year, that would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? Let's be realistic. When we're building a portfolio for our clients, when that portfolio is, let's call it for traditional purposes, 60% in stock-based investments and 40% in bond-based or cash investments. If that's what the portfolio looks like, we are shooting for an ongoing average rate of return of somewhere around 6 to 8%. But here's the story that I tell everybody, And I over and over and over again, if you had invested 100% of your money in the S&P 500, whether it's 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 70 years ago, do you know that your average rate of return, if you had invested money in the S&P 500, just left it alone, that's the 500 largest stocks that trade on the exchange, you left it alone, the average rate of return is either somewhere between 9 and 10.5%, depending upon what year you started. But here's the reality that blows people away. If I go back to 1930, 90 years ago, and I look at what the performance number was on the S&P 500 or its equivalent in 1930, 1931, 1942, 1956, 1967, 2001, whatever it was, take all of those years, look at them individually and say, what was the return that you get in that year when the average was 9 to 10.5%? How many times over the past 90 years has the stock market, has the S&P 500 finished with a return in a calendar year of somewhere between 5 and 10%? Over 90 years, how many times did it fall between 5 and 10%? The answer is 7 out of 90. Do you know what that means? That means that you had to get performance numbers that were over 10% or under 5% in order to get that average of 9.5%. Now, I told you in a portfolio that we're looking at that's like 60-40, 60% stock-based funds, 40% bond-based funds, we're looking 6 to 8%. So the likelihood of you getting 6 to 8% in any one given year is less than 10% chance. But over time, the chances of you moving towards the middle, that 6 to 8%, is what's likely to happen. So let's be mindful of that. That's called financial advice in a language you can understand. We're going to take a quick break. I want to remind you once again about our newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It comes out every Friday at 10:30. Go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your email address, your name, and you'll start getting our newsletter. Lands in your inbox Friday at 10:30. We're going to take a quick break. We got a few more minutes left in the show. I got a few more stories to tell you. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Two young lovers with nothing better to do. Sit around the house. Get high and watch them too. And here's what happened when they decided to cut loose. They headed down to Old El Paso. I swear they ran into a great big hassle. Billy Joe shot a man while robbing his castle. Bobby Sue took the money and run.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
The following message is brought to you by Friedman Financial of Peabody through 104.9's Project Local program.
Hi, it's Daniela from North Shore Hospitality Group, Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polano Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, reminding you to support your local restaurants. Stop by the cafe for pasta and pastries. Enjoy a cocktail on our heated veranda at Daniela's Ristorante, or indulge in prime steaks and seafood at Polano Steakhouse. Dine in, take out, or purchase gift cards from all of our locations. Daniela's Cafe Danvers, Polano Steakhouse, and the new Daniela's Ristorante Peabody.
And you tried to impress me with your blue extra large sweatshirt.
Well,
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. That voice you hear is my son Noah Friedman with his new song called Blue Extra Large Sweatshirt. Blue XL Sweatshirt, I should say. You can find it on Spotify if you'd like. Noah is coming home from University of Rochester in a couple weeks, and I'm hoping we're going to get him out to some folks, some places where he can start performing live and maybe an acoustic setting. If you have an outdoor venue, maybe you're hosting a private party at your house, maybe you got a farm or you want some entertainment, Noah does all that kind of stuff, and he's so talented. And if you're lucky, maybe I'll join him or my son will join him. We bring some musical instruments. And so would love to do that. If that's something of interest to you, give us a call, 978-531-8108. You can just call me at the office or drop me an email if you'd like as well. We would love to entertain for you and your family or your guests. I've just got a couple minutes left here in the show today. My name is Mark Friedman. Once again, you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial, of course. I'm here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And if now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning needs, I hope you'll give us a call. We do it all. We're a comprehensive financial planning firm. One of the biggest reasons people hire us is because they say, you know, Mark, I was working with a variety of different financial professionals in the past, or perhaps I was just doing it on my own. But I'm realizing it as I approach age 60 or 65 or even 70, that it's time to get serious about this stuff. It's really time to get serious about this stuff. I know that my paycheck is going to stop. I need to make a decision about Social Security. How do I apply for Medicare? How do I draw money from my investment account so that I can continue to have the lifestyle that I've grown accustomed to? Or do I have enough money? When will I run out of money? And in many cases, what we find out, because people have no idea what they have, when we put it all together, we begin to realize that they have more money than they think they have. And sometimes my job is to get you to spend more money. That's right, getting you to spend more money. And that is a huge wake-up call. Try to ask someone to spend. You might think to yourself, oh, yeah, it's easy for me to spend more money. Well, when you get to be retirement age and you've got to this lifestyle and this system of repetitiveness, of knowing what you like to buy, where you like to eat, where you like to buy, where you go for your hardware goods, where you buy, you do your shopping, where you travel, how you travel, where you stay, all that kind of stuff. Trying to break that mold, trying to step out and say, I want to do something a little bit different. When I tell you, maybe you could fly business class rather than economy class if you're flying to Europe. Maybe you don't need to use hotels.com to find the hotel that you want to stay at when you go to Venice, Italy. Maybe you could stay someplace nicer. Maybe you can spend a little bit extra when you go out for dinner. Maybe you don't have to do the free walking tours in Europe, but you could actually pay someone to give you a tour that would blow your mind, some things that you would never see. Those are the things that you're able to do. Maybe it's taking the whole family away on a vacation. You see, one of the things that I've learned with many of our clients, and look, 65% of our clients are retired. At Friedman Financial, 65% of them are retired, and they're always looking for what they can do, because I continue to show them if they continue to spend the money at the level they've been spending it, they're going to pass an enormous amount of money on to the next generation. And while this client, you as the client, have been so careful about making sure that you don't run out of money and making sure that you're so careful, I will tell you that when the kids inherit the money, they see it in many cases as free money, and they might use it to pay off their mortgage, buy a new car, go on fancy vacations, travel business class or first class, stay in nice hotels, buy the boat, do all of those things, things that you would never think of doing because you were trying to be responsible. So here's my advice to you. Why not invest in experiences? As someone once said to me, it's more fun to give with warm hands than it is to with cold ones. Maybe you want to create that family travel experience. Take everyone to Disney World. Take everyone on a cruise. Take everyone, or take one grandchild at a time. Take them to New York City. Take them to a Broadway show. Go to see the circus. Go travel around and see the ballparks. Travel to the national parks that are here. Go and do stuff and spend some money that will be forever memorable experiences. That is what's most important. That's what you need to do. That's what a great life is all about. Think about when you're retired. Retirement isn't anymore going to a retirement party, getting a gold watch at the party, going on the Love Boat and having people throw confetti at you, and then dying after drinking lemonade and sewing an afghan on the front porch.
That's not what retirement is like anymore. 65 years old is not old anymore. 65 years old is the beginning of a whole new set of experiences. And you're not decrepit at 70 or even 80. There's so many active people that are out there doing so many great things. Take advantage of it. Incorporate your family. Get to know your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren even. Make them part of the experience. If you want to help them with college costs ahead of time, do that. If you want to help your kids pay off their mortgage now, do that. Do the things that you want to see done. Give with warm hands rather than with cold hands. And that is what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. I know I've got Scott Whitley waiting in the wings to start up Wicked Bites Radio in about 2 minutes. But I want to remind you a couple restaurants that I went to this week as we kind of pass it off to Scott. I did go last night to Teresa's Prime in North Reading. Food was excellent over at Teresa's Prime. It was busy. It is loud there, I will tell you that. It was difficult to have a conversation. And I could tell just by looking at Teresa's that they are understaffed. Those people were working their butts off last night, running around like crazy, trying to accommodate every patron in the place. But they could have used a lot more help. It was tough in there. And I know restaurants are struggling because they can't find help. They need to find help. We need to get out there. Guys, you know what? Stop taking this extra unemployment check and saying it's a lot easier to sit at home and work for nothing. Get out there and work. Make a contribution. Get out there into society. It is time for us to get back. Second place that I went to, though, which I am loving, it's my new favorite Chinese restaurant to go to. If you can get a seat there, because it only seats about 20, 25 people, it's Tung's Taste. Tung's Taste in Middleton, right across the street from Best Bagel, or there's a McDonald's over there on 114 as well. It's in the Dairy Queen Plaza. It's in that plaza. But that's it for me. I got to get out of there. Maybe you'll see me at Tung's Taste or somewhere else out there. Have a great day, everybody. I'll be back next week on Mother's Day with Laura. She's coming in. We're going to have a special show for you. Have a great night. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.